There's a lot of mysteries here, and it just feels like we can learn a lot about our ancient past and what our ancestors were actually capable of doing. And they're capable of a lot more than what the traditional mainstream view of their tooling, of their ability to measure, of their ability to design. I mean, they're far more advanced than we give them credit for. And so, you know, it just feels like they deserve to have their accomplishments be known. So that's what I'm attempting to do.
I'm here right now with Matt Beale at the Cosmic Summit Conference in North Carolina. Now, he's brought an extensive collection of very interesting pre-dynastic vases, but I think it'd be better if, Matt, you could just kind of give people an understanding of why these are so contradictory to the models that we have for the history of the dynastic Egyptians and the pre-dynastic era. What is it about these vases that people need to understand?
Yeah, you know, I think the big thing is that they were not made by hand. You know, that they weren't the mainstream kind of explanation for how these things were made is you took a chunk of rock and then you banged on it to get a general shape of it, you know, with a pounding stone or with a dolerite hammer or something. And then you did a bow drill or a tube drill, and you kind of then cored out the inside, and then you used a rubbing stone and sand and water, and that's what made the whole thing. It's just impossible. It's completely, totally impossible. So you can kind of, you know, say a lathe was used to turn it. Okay, sure, we got that on the outside. Maybe a lathe was used to hollow it out. But then there's this mystery of how they removed the material between the handles here, because you would have been left with a solid ring around the object here. And so how would you go in and smooth this part out? You know, it's very, very complex. But the inside of all of them are basically perfectly round, perfect circles. The outside can be a little bit less symmetric for whatever reason. Sometimes it seems like there's two circles combined into one, and so that takes away from that perfect circularity that you see on the inside. But I think a lot of the mysteries are kind of still being uncovered, but the one thing that is absolutely certain is that they weren't made by hand, just from, you know, chiseling.
So which are the most precise examples out of the ones you got here?
Yeah, I'll pull them out for you.
Thank you.
There's one. There's two. This is made of a green diorite. This is serpentine.
And diorite sits at, what was that, like 7 out of 10
it
in
is.
The hardness
yeah.
scale?
Yep. Diorite is extraordinarily hard. It's 7 to 7.5 is my understanding. That's andesite porphyry. This is red granite, and you know, you can see the polish and the roundness of the symmetry. And it doesn't matter where you measure the circle, if you measure it down here, if you measure it on the side, if you measure it right near the bottom, we're seeing perfectly round circles throughout on the lip. You know, so this axis here, the x-axis and the y-axis, are within just a couple of thousandths of an inch of perfect roundness. And, damage and weathering and wear could account for some of that. So just the perfection of manufacture is really impressive on these things.
And then there's a big discrepancy, because then later periods have less advanced methodologies of creating pottery, right?
Correct, yeah. Pottery, but they also do some stonework, but it's in alabaster in the later periods, and alabaster is a very soft stone. It's a 2 to 2.5, so it's even softer than marble. You know, it's a very, very easy to work with. And there are scenes, there are depictions of hieroglyphs that exist from 1300 BC of the Egyptians working with alabaster with a lathe, with a very primitive lathe. And that's used to explain the manufacture of these, but you can't explain these with tools that are designed for alabaster. It's too completely different. There is metrology that exists in a lot of these. And so if you're creating something that is a specific dimension, that has a specific width, specific height, the lip is a specific size, and we know this because they line up to the metrology of the royal cubit in a lot of cases, So they were using that ancient metrological system to manufacture these. So they're hitting very precisely, they're hitting specific tolerances of dimensions. And so that's a design and manufacture. You know, that just doesn't happen by accident. You don't get to within a thousandth of an inch of a specific measurement, you know, on six different measurements of the thing by accident. And so that in and of itself is just an incredible feat of engineering. This is about 30 out of them. There's 85 in total in the collection, and I haven't been at it for that long. It's only been about 3 years. And so when I first got into these things, you could find them. They were out there available on the market. You know, there were probably about 100 of them available. And, you know, over the last 3 years, and I've been fortunate enough to snap up most of those before the rest of the world kind of got super interested.
We're glad you did it. Yeah. Sort of some unscrupulous right. character that hides them away somewhere. Right. You're actually bringing them out for the public. So
right.
I think that's very, you know, a very justifiable cause. And cool. we all appreciate you coming out here and doing this.
There's one at home that's 7,000 years old, but it's not a vase. It's like a bowl.
Wow.
But, you know, I feel like this one here just has a tremendous amount of age and weathering to it, you know, and it probably had a lip at one point in time and was broken off. So I feel like that one's definitely super old.
Which one's your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
I think it's probably.
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because the precision on that is just mind-blowing.
It really is. Really
I mean, why do you think they had to be so perfectly balanced like this? Is it just a hallmark of how capable they were as a species, or not as a species, but as a civilization? Or do you think it had a functionality?
The function for me is just pure speculation.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
like, it's just so hard to know. But yeah. I feel like it was what the tool was capable of producing.
Yeah.
And so that's how it came
out. It could be that precise. Yeah. So why not make it that precise?
Right. Right.
And probably for royalty and not for necessarily sure. for just like, you know, everyday people.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. They were mostly found in first and second dynasty tombs of kings and nobles and pharaohs. And, you know, so yeah, they were reserved for the elite of the time.
Do you think any of these date back to unconventional dating periods, like 12,000 plus?
You know, there were stone plates that were found in Test Templar that were made of similar materials, like basalt, like we see here, and some that were made of granite. And so the people were absolutely making objects like this 11,000, 12,000 years ago. There's no doubt about that now that's been confirmed. So I would not be at all surprised if some of these were significantly older than we think. A lot of people have come in over the course of the last 2 days and looked at these. Have just, you know, it's been they've described that as a spiritual experience,
right.
You know, as like just a once in a lifetime kind of thing. So just to see that reaction from people, and it's all been worth it, you know, to haul them up here. So. Yeah, man, there's a lot of mysteries here, and it just feels like we can learn a lot about our ancient past and what our ancestors were actually capable of doing. And they're capable of a lot more than what the traditional mainstream view of, you know, of their tooling, of their ability to measure, of their ability to design. I mean, they're far more advanced than we give them credit for. And so, you know, it just feels like they deserve to have their accomplishments be known. So that's what I'm attempting to do.